Cassie McCullough with Focus on ABC Radio Sydney.
When you look at international test scores, you'd have to think that there's something a bit wrong with education in Australia. Performances in maths and science and reading with our kids are, well, they're on a downward trend. You only have to see the decline when you compare us to other countries to get a feel for this. But in maths and science, our kids are doing worse than they were just over a decade ago. So what is going on? What is it that we're teaching kids? And how are we doing it? Can it be done better? This weekend, as part of the Vivid Festival, the inaugural Mark Colvin conversation will take place in honour of the journalist who was such a part of our evening news agenda with the PM program. It's just a year since we lost Mark, and this conversation is going to take place in his honour. Two of the people who are going to be part of it is Lucy Clark, who's a senior editor at The Guardian Australia and the author of Beautiful Failures, How the Quest for Success is Harming Our Kids. G'day, Lucy.
Good morning, Cassie.
Also being part of it is Robin Ewing. She's a professor of teacher education at the University of Sydney with a special interest in the role of arts in learning. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Cassie.
Now, I guess let's start with what you've written, Lucy. And you wrote very movingly a few years ago about your daughter's experience in the Australian education system and where that led her and how it led you into this field. Tell us about what happened with her.
She basically crumbled under the pressure of school and found the focus on outcomes and success, as we've come to define it, really crippling, and basically started opting out of school. And as a mother, I started asking questions about what was going wrong with her. And as a journalist, I started asking more and more questions about what was going on in education and discovered, obviously, as everyone talks about, there's a lot going wrong in education. And it has a lot to do with the pressure. It also has a lot to do with the way you opened today's discussion about focus on international measures and outcomes, like this constant yes. focus on data and how we're doing and, you know, where are we ranked? And we do that to kids too. And that is really damaging for a lot of kids. And it's also the antithesis to creativity in education.
Yeah. You wrote that she couldn't bear watching the Olympics.
Yes, well, competition. I mean, you know, that's sport. That's another thing. But education is not like sport. And yet we've come to define it like a race from A to B that goes over 13 years and whoever comes first is the winner. Mm. And that really reduces, what should be an incredibly rich experience, a creative experience, to a really, box-ticking exercise for a lot of kids.
Robin Ewing, I guess, you know, this is a tricky one in the education system overall, because how do we assess whether the system is working in any measure if we don't do testing? But is it the testing itself now that has become a kind of obstacle to learning?
Definitely, because the kind of assessment we're doing is all around very reductive, multiple choice, the right answer kind of testing, which doesn't allow you to respond in your own way. And doesn't necessarily, those kinds of tests are high stakes now because they're linked to how a school is doing. And because they're only measuring a very small part of things like literacy and numeracy and kinds of writing in a very short space of time on one day, they're not necessarily giving a true picture of how the child is doing in a much more, well-rounded way, yes.
Yeah, and we saw the Education Minister of New South Wales, Rob Stokes, recently criticising those tests like NAPLAN, saying that they encouraged teaching to the test.
That's right.
Rather than teaching.
And your opening actually put the two together, the fact that we have more and more moved to high-stakes testing and apparently we've been falling through these benchmarks comparing ourselves with overseas. I wonder if anyone did a little bit of a correlation between that. they might come up with the suggestion. The other thing is that some of our best and brightest students are plateauing out because they're sick of, you know, that kind of testing. They're they're not being challenged and extended in creative ways.
So you're saying that this decline overlaps with the introduction of NAPLAN.
And aligning the NAPLAN tests, which were supposed to be diagnostic, to how a school is going in the My School.
Mm.
So that's what I'm suggesting, that we have spent far too long honing in on very reductive, narrow kinds of tests instead of extending our children in creative and playful ways and helping them be problem solvers in flexible ways. So, you know, if you actually look at the writing test, for example, the children get more marks for whether they are doing their spelling and punctuation and paragraphing right. And I'm not saying that isn't important, but the having of wonderful ideas is not given as much priority.
And there's so much research now that shows that supporting creativity and the arts actually rounds out a child's education in a way that boosts their academic performance. I mean, if we only focus on a small part of a child, they will find their results going down because they're not well-rounded and they're not, you know, doing the things that make them, that boost them, lift them up.
But I presume neither of you are advocating that we chuck out the syllabus
not.
And, you know, and just have a sort of freestyle schooling. So how do you incorporate it?
Well, I think we are advocating more emphasis on arts, quality arts processes and experiences across the curriculum because, as Lucy says, the research is unequivocal that quality arts experiences actually engage children across the curriculum. They do better academically because you're addressing their social and emotional needs.
Wow. Okay. Somebody says, I applaud this discussion. I love Mark Colvin, but there are no current classroom teachers on this panel over the weekend. Bit of an oversight.
Well,
that's a brick bat, isn't it?
Well, I consider myself a primary teacher as well as an academic. That's how I started my career. And I work in classrooms with teachers all the time. And I know how constrained teachers are feeling by being pressured to teach to tests and not to be allowed to explore how to meet the needs of the children as individuals.
Yeah.
And we're hoping a lot of teachers will be at the panel to join in this discussion as well. But also I think it's onerous for teachers to be the only ones who can talk about education. This is a community issue. This is a humanity issue that affects all of us. And we all need to talk about it in a respectful way that includes everyone. So, you know, it is a discussion for everyone.
Yes, and perhaps we also need to think about the way we load teachers with all that responsibility, not just for, you know, getting these great scores or looking after some pretty, you know, important aspects of learning development. But then we also say, well, yeah, they have to teach them how to...
Road safety and nutrition. And yeah, teachers are blamed for lots of things and actually it is a community issue.
Mm.
And we really, if we address some of the poverty and lack of resourcing issues and lack of professional development for teachers...
And trust them a bit more.
Trust them. Mm. We do a lot to support them.
Mm. So if you could change one thing, what would you change maybe? Where would you start with making the system more amenable to creativity and getting kids to think creatively?
We have to start by looking at how to reduce the pressure on kids, and that comes with looking at getting rid of NAPLAN and high-stakes testing and broadening our ideas of what success is. If school is nothing but an exercise in compliance and conformity and box-ticking and learning what's going to be on the test, regurgitating what's going to be on the test and hoping you get a really great number at the end of your education, then we're not going to have the citizens of the future that we need for the unforeseen challenges that are coming at us.
Yeah, I think compliance was something I always struggled with at school.
A lot of kids do.
What about you, Robin Ewing? Well, what would you say?
I agree with Lucy. I also think we have to stop searching for the one size fits all, the one recipe that if we find it, all children will be fine. All children are unique, creative individuals, and teachers need to be respected to meet the needs of them and to be able to be creative with the pedagogies and the understandings that they have about how children learn. We haven't I would change the lack of respect that's happened and the lack of trust in education. Why aren't educators involved in these policy developments? Why is it always other people without that educational expertise who are making those decisions when they don't have the understanding of what it means, you know, to learn?
And, of course, we all look back at the teachers who changed our lives and made a difference. You know, we should be giving these people more money and far more respect. Someone on the text line says, just yesterday my daughter is now on medication after having anxiety and panic attacks about assessments at school. She's been sick and gotten behind, but now it's snowballed out of control and she can't handle the pressure. For her, a rapport with the teacher is paramount, and some just don't connect with her, which makes it worse. Let's just teach and get everything in rather than just a narrow window. I guess, you know, that's a very strong sentiment. How's your daughter going, Lisa Clark?
It's devastating for me to hear that because, I feel it takes me back to the anxiety that my daughter was feeling, and it's still difficult for her to, you know, a few years after school to recover from that. There's so much anxiety in the community from not fitting the narrow view of success that we have in school, and it's starting at younger and younger ages. It was horrifying to me to hear of parents getting their four-year-olds academically enhanced so they could get into the best school. It is absolutely disastrous.
And now we're facing this suggestion that all six-year-olds should do a phonics test, reading 40 words, half of which are nonsense words. You know, that's going to, again, create anxieties for lots of children at that age.
Well, I can see that, you know, the very highly self-critical world that many of us live in, especially in this age of social media, that's another issue. But I can see how these pressures are embedded in us through the school system. It's going to be a fantastic conversation.
Yes.
And I'm sure a lot of teachers will roll up to hear it. Thank you very much to both of you for talking with us and telling us about this idea, and go well on the weekend.
Thanks, Cassie.
Thank you, Cassie.
Lucy Clark, who is a senior editor at The Guardian Australia and the author of Beautiful Failures, How the Quest for Success is Harming Our Kids. And Professor Robin Ewing, she's in teacher education at the University of Sydney with a special interest in the role of arts in learning. And both of them will be part of this Mark Colvin conversation, the first one that's being held in honour of that great journalist this weekend at Vivid. All the details you'll find online. Your thoughts? Craig says, NAPLAN represents a finite number of days. It's difficult to believe this is responsible for the failure of our education system. Why do students continue to move through the school system regardless of learning outcomes? Interesting thought. JD says, my daughter struggled and was at the bottom of the class until year 10. She was humiliated by test results and felt dumb. She discovered maths and took off. She's now doing her PhD in analytical chemistry and engineering. Constant testing was a painful hindrance. Good on her. Fantastic, JD. And another person says, hello, Cassie. As a teacher of 40 years, I think your guests make so much sense. They're awesome. May they be heard. I loved Mark Colvin. That's Jane from Darlinghurst.
Focus with Cassie McCullough, ABC Radio Sydney.